we had the opportunity Thursday afternoon to sit down and talk with Josh Newton, who is the medical director of the Mountain Community Health Partnership. That, of course, is Bakersville, Spruce Pine, and CeeLo Health Clinics. Josh, it's good to see you today, and we're glad to have you on the radio and talk with you a little bit. Lots going on in the medical world right now, isn't it?
That there is, yep.
And it really seems strange. You are my first community close-up I have ever interviewed anyone that had on a mask. It's like the Lone Ranger is coming here to talk to me today. It's not quite the same type mask, but
I just have Tonto by my side.
That's exactly right. Yeah, Tonto's, you've got a good assistant right there to keep you in line. A lot to talk about. Serious subject. So let's just go right to the point. Why was the clinics closed? Tell me what was going on.
So first off, let me just say that the clinic has been transitioning to virtual visits. We've been trying to move towards telehealth even before we had our first positive case in Mitchell County.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this in an attempt to try to limit or completely remove any physical contact between people. That really helps isolate the virus and prevent the spread. We also had begun to limit access to the lobby, and we were trying to minimize contact during visits as well, just to help out with that. Then when we had our first case, we followed a course of action similar to what facilities in other parts of the state have been doing, like Wake County, for example, did the exact same thing. We've tracked the sources, we've tested the symptomatic cases, and we've quarantined as many levels of exposure as we could. We know the virus can live on cardboard for 24 hours, on metal for 3 days, and on plastic for as much as 7 days. So we had no way to know which surfaces had been contaminated. So what we chose to do was assume all surfaces were contaminated. And so we cleaned the clinic completely from head to toe, and then we locked it up and we waited for the full life of any contamination that might remain. Now, we had planned to open this week, but with the second case, we've postponed that opening. And we're reassessing when we can safely open and staff our clinic. Now, just so you know, the CDC recommendations actually say that healthcare workers can work until they're symptomatic. We personally think that's an unnecessary risk based on how our organization operates and everything. So what we tried to do was go above and beyond and try to move most of our staff to telehealth and try to limit that exposure as much as possible.
In all of this, who was quarantined?
So we chose to quarantine all immediate exposures to the positive case. Even if they were essential workers, they were quarantined for 2 weeks. We then expanded that to include all intimate contacts of the exposed employee. When I say intimate, that includes family, housemates, anyone who was within 6 feet for over 10 minutes. And that's the CDC standard for exposure and everything. With the quarantine, they're not allowed out of the house, so we coordinated medical care, counseling, and meal deliveries for these people. Also, if they had a contact of a contact that was symptomatic, then we quarantined all of their contacts. So trying to go up to that secondary and tertiary level and everything. So this means out of one limited case, you might have hundreds of quarantines. Without these steps, it would have very easily expanded to thousands of cases of possible exposure in the community. And like I said, this quarantine is beyond what the CDC requires, but we know that isolation is essentially the only tool we have to stop the spread and try to treat this disease. So we wanted to isolate as many people as we possibly could.
Okay. How about patients of the clinics? Were there patients actually exposed within the realm of the first two cases?
Yes, unfortunately, there were. None were exposed after an employee became symptomatic, but with COVID, that's the main risk of exposure. A person can be exposing others and not even know that they have it. So this was coming to Mitchell, Avery, Yancey County, no matter what we did. One way or another, it was going to get here, and we knew at some point it was going to penetrate our clinic and it would affect our patients. All we could do was try to minimize the damage. Because of how we tried to split up the clinics, limit the spread as much as possible, and take all these precautionary measures, we hoped that we would limit that effect. This is an invisible killer where people spread the viral particles for days before they even have symptoms. And even when they do have symptoms, honestly, they're so mild that they don't even realize that they're spreading anything.
Josh, when was the earliest possible exposure in Mitchell County, based on what you guys have been tracking?
So based on the current positive cases that we have, the earliest that anyone could have even remotely been exposed would be March 16th.
So that would have been March 16th. Now, what if someone is a patient of the clinic and hasn't heard if they were exposed or not?
And I think this is a great question, because this is one of the ones that we're getting the most at our clinic and at the health department, just because people want to know, how will I be contacted and how will I know? So the health department is the one responsible for contacting people who have had exposure to the positive case. Everyone from the first case has already been notified. Everyone from the second case should be notified by now. Notifications, I just want to be clear, are not done by mail or by a letter or anything else. They're done with a direct phone call. That way people receive a call and can have all their questions answered by the health department staff. The health department has been working very vigilantly to contact all of these people as quickly as possible. But I just want to say, if you haven't been notified, that's because you haven't been exposed.
Right. So everybody has been. So, okay, that makes sense. Who all is being counted as an exposure?
So this is another place where we tried to go above and beyond what the CDC recommended. The CDC says that, you know, anyone who's been within 6 feet for greater than 10 minutes, and in fact, the World Health Organization goes even down to like 3 feet. What we said is anyone who's been within 6 feet for less than a minute, we would consider even to be an exposure. That way we're being as aggressive as possible. Our hopes is that no matter how small of an exposure there is, that we're going to contain it and slow the spread of this.
Okay. Were any employees allowed to work after travel?
So we've been following the CDC recommendations here, and the staff are quarantined after out-of-state or out-of-country travel, especially to high-risk areas and everything. But just in general, they're all go through this process. All staff that have traveled are evaluated by our team using the CDC recommendations, and our team includes the Tow River Health Department Medical Director, Dr. Frank Craig. No employee since the onset of COVID in the U.S. has been allowed to return on-site without this process.
Okay.
It's important to remember that areas that may initially have been low risk, like say, for example, Greenville, you know, if even just a couple of weeks ago, there was maybe only one or two cases, and now you're looking at potentially hundreds of cases. So that has changed quite a bit, and this has been such a rapidly developing situation that it's almost difficult to track. So it means that looking back, what may have been low risk actually now may be high risk, and we had no way to know that at the time.
After employees were found to be symptomatic, were any allowed to work?
So first of all, we isolate any symptomatic staff as soon as we're aware of their symptoms. Now we've gone so far as to even say any mild symptoms we will isolate someone for. And remember that with COVID, COVID is a lower respiratory infection, so that means you're looking for cough, shortness of breath, and then fever. We've gone so far as to say even upper respiratory symptoms, so runny nose, you know, sore throat, ears hurting, sinus congestion, that those would be things that we would isolate and quarantine staff for. That way we're trying to just go above and beyond making sure that we quarantine everyone we can.
Okay. Did the first case go on a cruise?
None of the positive cases went on a cruise.
So neither of them went on a cruise?
None of them.
Okay. Heard a lot about that. I'm glad you answered that one. Was the case an employee, and if so, were they let go?
So because of HIPAA laws, we can't relate any of that information. We can't say anything about the individual cases. Now, ultimately, you know, as medical director, I should just say that our healthcare employees, they're on the front line. We expect them to be exposed. We expect them to be some of the earliest cases and everything. So we expect that ultimately we will have employees that are affected that contract this.
So now let's talk a little bit about testing. Are you withholding testing from patients who don't meet certain standards?
So originally we were the only testing facility in the area that was going to do large-scale testing. We were going to use private labs in an attempt to catch early cases. So you've got this community spread where maybe someone had symptoms but they weren't around a positive. That wouldn't have met the original standards for testing, and we were going to try to do as much of that as possible so that we could catch it for Mitchell County. We even went so far as to design and set up a drive-through testing facility in hopes of testing a large portion of our community. When the state set more restrictive testing guidelines, we chose to buck that and go with liberal testing still because we had no positives in the region and we feared cases going by and slipping by before the community even knew about it. However, because of issues in the national testing system, we got to the point where we're waiting about 2 weeks for testing results. At that point, the quarantine could end before they even get their results back because they're under a 14-day quarantine when they're exposed. So we chose not to do any further testing since it didn't change their treatment course. Now, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services has now further restricted that testing by only allowing it now for high-risk cases such as those who are critically ill and in the hospital or healthcare workers. They're doing this for a number of reasons, some of which is they don't want people out while they're being tested because that increases the risk of exposure. And also we have very limited levels of protective equipment that you have to have during this testing and everything. So pretty much because of this, testing has been taken out of the picture completely. We're holding out hope that maybe we'll get the rapid test around here and it'll be available to us. But because of the current guidelines, we don't meet the requirements to be a high priority level or area because of the fact that we don't have enough positives. So they won't release that type of testing to us. So we don't know when we'll be able to resume testing at this point.
Okay. Water treatment options, if someone is found positive, what do you do?
So we have no proven treatment options at this point. They're looking into hydroxychloroquine, which is also known as Plaquenil, and azithromycin, which most people know is like a Z-Pak. But this course is only recommended when a patient is critically ill and hospitalized. The best tool we have is for people just to stay at home. Precautions like hand washing, coughing into your elbow, they obviously benefit to like limit the spread, but they can't remove the risk entirely. Ultimately, staying home is the only way that we can treat this disease.
Okay. So what's the clinic doing now?
Our big push right now is for telehealth. Like I said, we were already transitioning into this, and initially it's been something that our clinic hasn't been able to go into because of some of the national guidelines. But because of this situation, they've opened up all those guidelines, and so we are really trying to move our resources that way. So what this means is a number of things. So right now, you know, I've had a lot of patients that I take care of in Mitchell County, for example, that they want to know, well, what do I do right now when I need my medicines refilled, when I have a problem? So they can still call the clinic that they would normally call. All those calls are being forwarded to sort of a phone center bank and everything, a set of people who will then help navigate them through this. Now, let's say you needed a visit. You needed me to evaluate something, and we needed to talk through and figure out a treatment course or whatever else. So you could call that number, they would set you up with an appointment, and then we would try to do either a telephone or really we're trying to do Zoom, which is like a face-to-face, kind of like a Skype and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we would set you up with an appointment for that and try to help manage you through that and everything. And so that's where we're trying to go overall as a clinic, because really, as I said before, we have to keep everyone at home. If we can limit contact as much as possible, that's the best thing we can do for the community.
This has affected Spruce Pine and Bakersfield, but CELO, located in Yancey County, is continuing to operate pretty much as always.
Absolutely. So, like I said, we have isolated each one of our sites so that that way we're trying to make sure that the spread stays to a single site whenever you have a positive case there. But our CELO site has been able to continue to operate. They're taking a good majority of those calls right now. And so, you know, as I said before, as we try to shift over to that, that's a big change for us. So it means that there may be slightly longer wait times. You may have to leave a voicemail. We're trying to get as many staff members as we can there set up to be answering these phone calls. But they're continuing to operate sort of with these new guidelines, trying to manage patients as much as possible. And Yancey County so far has been lucky that they have not had a positive case.
Bottom line, stay home, wash your hands, right?
Absolutely. Stay home. But remember, too, that the clinic is here for you. We're not deserting any of our patients through this. We will continue to serve them in every way possible. We're just in a new frontier, so we have to recreate things and figure out how to move forward from here.
So if someone feels they need to talk to the Bank of Folks answering the phone, just the regular telephone number they've always called for Bakers Forest Spruce Pine, and you'll take care of them.
Absolutely. Yep, we will be there. And we even have 24-hour on-call providers and everything. So even after normal hours, we have somebody who can handle an acute situation if there's a question.
Okay. As you can imagine, things are very busy around the Mountain Community Health Partnership right now, and I really appreciate Josh taking a few minutes to sit down and talk with me and answer these questions about what's going on. A lot of folks are concerned. There's been two coronavirus positive test results in Mitchell County, and we wanted to share this information. I do want to remind you this interview is available online at our website. You could just go to where it says Community Close Up, and you'll find it there. And again, thank you, Josh, for talking with us today, and thank you for listening.